Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk in the house with the formerly known Bachelor. But anyway, this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle. Yeah, we got the muscle today, like a rock formed muscle. Yeah, the number one drug-free sponsor foundation in the world. And if you're smart, if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Dad?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Chicka, 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 sold at P4PMuscle.com and now, if you smell. No, let's talk. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
I am great. Maybe a little delirious. How about you?
I'm feeling pretty good.
That's pretty good. We're doing pretty good, folks. This is peak week for both Kalen and I. We've got a show coming up this weekend. NGA USA Championships, Madison, Wisconsin, Jack Halverson, his first show. So we're going to be there checking it out. And I have to tell you, my peak week is a little crazy this week, and here's why. So tomorrow morning at 5:45 a.m., I am taking off on a business trip to Mississippi, and I will be there until Friday. And in fact, I touched down back in Des Moines on Friday at like 5, and here I am just sharing all my details across the airwaves, but that's all right. Touched down at like 5:41, okay, plane lands. Gonna have my carry-on bag and running through the hallways, right? Gonna go tan.
You hope you have your carry-on bag.
If they don't try to take it away from me on my way home, I should have my carry-on bag.
You're not taking United,
gonna
are
land.
You?
Where am I flying? I sure am. That's
uh-oh,
the airplane I am on. But I don't plan on getting any fist fights with anybody. As long as they don't try to take my skill set oath, I'll be okay. Yeah. So anyway, 5:41 landing, going to run, going to tan. I'm tanning in Des Moines because I'm not going to have time to check in with the show tanner in Madison. And then I'm going to drive to Madison, Wisconsin, and then compete the next day. Cool, excited, ready to do that. And then drive home Saturday night because my number one daughter has a roller derby tournament all day Sunday. So that's kind of my next couple of days.
Wow.
So that's what I got going on. That's what I got going on. Yeah. Well, you know, it's mom life. Hashtag mom life. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. I have no idea why. I'm done rambling now. Kalen, what do we got going on for tonight? It's because it's peak week. Yeah, and I can. And I did. So, but I'm going to move us along now.
We
got to get to the matter at hand.
We have no choice.
Get to the matter at hand. Because you were already alluding to our guest tonight, and we've had him on before, and we loved him so much that we're bringing him back. But we're bringing him back, really, because this guy's got a ton going on. I don't even think he sleeps. I don't think he stops moving. I think he's like a shark.
He does not.
I know we call him the Dominican Rock, but I think we're going to have to come up with some sort of shark name to go along with it, because he just never stops, never stops. So with that, Kalen, set us up.
Well, no, I'm kidding. I just can't help it because every time I think about that guy, that's all I can think of is like a wrestling moniker. But anywho, this gentleman is just a joy to be around, full of energy, full of life, and just so giving. It's just hard to believe. Like you said, this guy rests, and he has such a great temperament to basically deal with everybody and everything with so few hours of rest, because I know I don't get that way when I don't get rest. I want to purge people from existence and basically wipe them from humanity, but for some reason, the Dominican Rock finds a better way to do so, and I'm proud of him. So, Romer, please introduce yourself again, and we'll get the show started.
If you smell... Well, the Dominican Rock is cooking. What's going on, guys?
Yes. Clean heat.
Hey. You know, just a little natural bodybuilding, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much for all the work that you guys do. Always, thank you for that, and good luck in your peak weeks. I know how tough that is.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. So, you know, we always pull in a lot of new listeners, which I am so grateful for. So, thank you, guys. Thank you for our steadies who are with us every show, and for our new ones who pop in and out. But for those folks, Romer, go ahead and tell them a little bit about yourself.
A little bit about myself, and I'll tell you, I don't like to talk about myself too much. I'm always, just like Kaylin mentioned earlier, I'm always about giving. I'm always about giving back to the athletes and making sure that, you know, we put natural bodybuilding in the map that it belongs. I mean, it's the greatest sport that ever for me, and that is my favorite sport, the greatest sport ever. And my whole philosophy is, how can we give back to grow the sport in a way that eventually, you know, we can carry that on ESPN, like, you know, like it was back in the day. No,
oh,
and that's
wow,
the overall
yeah.
goal. But for me, again, just a quick summary. I'm a former bodybuilder. Competed, I'll say I'm retired now. I'm 31 years old. I'm going to be 32 this coming Sunday. I'm a financial advisor. I like to say promoter. Like I can tell you guys before, I don't like the word promoter. I call myself a producer when it comes to making these shows, our shows here. A little summary of what we have going on right now on September 9th. At the Buffalo Convention Center, we have Buffalo, we're about a half hour from Niagara Falls, in New York State, obviously, Buffalo, New York. But we have the Buffalo Fitness Expo. That's the largest fitness expo in New York State. That's on September 9th at the Buffalo Convention Center. We had our first one last year, and it was absolutely amazing. And this year it's going to be five times the size that it was last year. So we are super excited for that, to put natural bodybuilding on the map, the feature event of the Buffalo Fitness Expo this year. For that event, we have the ANMBF, Miss Buff Diva New York, and that's an all-women's event in bikini, figure, women's physique, and women's bodybuilding. It's also an IPE, that's an International Pro Elite Pro Qualifier. So we're excited for that event. I think it's going to be one of our biggest events of the year. Next, for the Buffalo Fitness Expo, the next event we have, which is also one of our features events, it's a Kilos for Cancer Powerlifting and Strongman competition. That's going to be a competition where all of our proceeds are actually going to be donated to cancer research. So we're excited for that.
Nice.
On the map for that event, just to name a few events that we have Olympic lifting, we have CrossFit, we have actually something we added this year. It's going to be arm wrestling and grip strength championships. We also have Ninja Warrior, we have some MMA, we have some martial arts, we have some demos, some exhibitions. It's going to be on fire. We know we're excited for that.
You know, I'm really glad that you are doing what you're doing, but there's certain things that, you know, basically just come across because of who you are. And it's very interesting that you could just find new ways to do the things that you're doing. And when you talk about the venue you're talking about, could you elaborate so people can understand just how big on the scope of what you're speaking?
Yes. And it is a whole nother venue, especially when it comes to forming an expo. The Buffalo Convention Center here is 110,000 square feet. So that's pretty much what we're working with. We're going to have over 300 different sponsors that are going to be there. A lot of our local fitness and health of companies are going to be there. We even have some makeup companies that are going to be there. I mean, that's how big this event's going to be here. It's going to be absolutely amazing. But again, 110,000 square feet. And last year, again, we had a good positive response. And with me, I'll tell you that I'm such a perfectionist. Whatever I do, I'm always thinking, okay, well, how can I do it better? You know, how can I make it different? Because I feel like sometimes when someone, I would say, takes a venture like this, they want to do what everyone is doing. And my whole thing is, if you're going to do something, you got to make it different. You have to stand out. And the way that we do that is by taking care of our athletes. You know, we know that in this sport, and I'll tell you that there are many great promoters, many great producers out there, but there are some of those that we know that, you know, and I don't want to sound negative to you, but they are in it for the money, you know. And what I mean by that is they charge ridiculous fees to competitors, ridiculous fees for spectators. They charge for everything. Our goal is to keep costs as low as possible for our competitors, and in return, make sure that if the show is a great show, they're going to come back. you know, their family members are going to come back. You know, I had actually, for our past spring show now, I had a family that came to watch the spring show, and their daughter wasn't even competing. But they had such a great time at our last show that they actually came back to watch the show. You know, and again, and it just goes back to giving back to the athletes. You know, what can we do to make sure that if that person, I don't care if it's in our bodybuilding show, if it's powerlifting, Olympic lifting, CrossFit, if that person gets last place, I want them to say, wow, that is the best event that I've ever competed in. And I think that that's something that I can't do alone. And I'll tell you that I've teamed up with a lot of fitness experts in the area, a lot of people that I would say know a lot more than I do about powerlifting, about Olympic lifting, about all those different events. So what we did was we brought them together, almost formulated a whole team. You know, we are the only bodybuilding show here and only event supported by the Buffalo Niagara Sports Commission. So we do have their backing, and that's what we did pretty much. A lot of people tell me, how can you do this by yourself? And I'll tell you, it is a lot of work. Obviously, planning for an expo is completely different than planning for a show, you know,
because
there are so many moving parts involved. But again, that's our overall goal, just making sure we give back to the athletes and the spectators as much as possible.
And that's awesome. Well, I mean, and it is a lot of work, and there's always tons of stuff going on. Kaylin, go ahead. It sounded like you wanted to jump in with something.
Yeah, there's something that he said that really kind of piqued my interest, because I know this is what is needed for the sport to grow, and that's where he said, you know, it can't be just his thinking alone, but he wanted input from other people that could specialize. Like with powerlifting, it's good to speak to a powerlifter because they know the ins and outs of powerlifting and the MMA. So, you know, he can have an idea, but it's nice to have input to make sure it runs correctly, because I know from, you know, personal experience in the military as well as at some previous jobs where things look great. I mean, it's so perfect and wonderful on paper, but when you put it down to hard work and, you know, actually being done, it falls apart really quick. So, you know, Roma, how did you come up with that? Or is that something you just grew up in with your own understanding? Or those just the trials of life, and you say, you know, there's got to be a better way other than just what I know works?
That's a really good question, Kaylin. And I'll tell you that I know that that comes from my career, being a financial advisor. You know, I know that, you know, I like this phrase that I like to use with clients. I say, you don't know what you don't know, you know. So you don't know what you don't know. And in terms, what that means is that, you know, again, I'm smart enough to know that I don't have all the answers. You know, and similar in my field in financial planning, financial advising, if I have a client, let's just say I have a client that calls me with a very, let's say, complicated tax and estate planning question, and maybe I don't have the answer to. You know, I'm smart enough to be able to call an attorney who's a friend of mine who's more knowledgeable in that area and ask him that question. And that's exactly that same mentality that I took with this expo, is instead of me handling the powerlifting, instead of me handling all the other events, why not bring someone who's an absolute true expert in that area, and let them handle that. And I know how a lot of expos around the country work, that normally when an event organizer wants to run an event, they charge them an insane amount of fees. I mean, charge them, I did my homework. And it's expensive for someone to run an event at an expo. I did the opposite. I actually, if I know that person running the event is going to work their butts off, not for the expo, but for the fitness community here in Western New York, I said, hey, you know what? Don't even pay me a fee. You know, keep all your competitors' registration. I'll handle all the costs. I'll make sure that we take care of everything. And I just make sure that, obviously, you know, treat the athletes fair and correct, and make sure that we do a good job for them. And that's exactly what we've done here. And I'll tell you, I love the fitness community here in Buffalo. It's been amazing here.
Man. Oh, and you can tell. I mean, you can definitely hear it in your voice that you do care. And I do love the model that you were just talking about, because a lot of times, you know, you hear the expression, you can't see the forest for the trees. And, you know, that's an applicable
Absolutely.
Phrase to business, even though this is not necessarily business, but we all know some promoters do look at that business. But, you know, sometimes you have to spend money to make money or to get to the place that you want to be. And so, you know, the philosophy of bringing in as much as you can and holding on to every nickel, not necessarily going to work for you. I mean, in your model where you are letting the individuals who are doing the work and they're doing the hard work keep those proceeds so they can keep pouring back into the athletes that they're looking to attract is only serving to make your events that much better and that much more of a positive experience for the athletes. So, you know, just something to really think about, you know, as a just business people, as participants, just humans in general, that, you know, give a little, get a lot. That seems to be the case.
100%.
More times than not. More times than not. So have a question for you. Dale wants to know,
yes,
what drives you to be so motivated all the time?
Well, I think motivation is something that I was talking to a friend of mine about this. He said that he went to this, it was a motivational seminar. He said that he was so pumped up when he went to that seminar. He was so pumped up. But he said the second he went back to his office, that motivation just, like, fell off. And mm-hmm. I'll say I know that's a whole different subject. I'm sorry I got into that. But basically, when I feel like in those situations, let's say if you do go to a seminar and you wanna learn something, instead of trying to implement 10 things into your practice or into your life, just pick one single thing. Pick one thing that you like the most, and make sure that week you write it down and make sure that you do it. You know, and I just feel overall, I feel like Kaylin and Desiree, I feel like there's never been a better time to be alive than today. You know, we have everything at our disposal, everything. There's not one thing that none of us cannot do. And I feel like, why not take advantage of it? And yes, you're gonna have your lows, and yes, you're gonna have your highs. That's part of life. I feel like a lot of people, you know, when they do, I don't want to say experience a failure, but they experience a setback, they right away go ahead and quit and give up, you know, and it's okay. I mean, failures are completely okay. You know, if you fail at something, that's great. That means you learned a way that it didn't work. So why not try another way?
Yeah, or at least you're trying, period.
Yeah,
you
I
can't
like
fail
that
at all, nor can you succeed if you don't try anything.
Oh, 100%. There's so many things that we do, and I'll tell you about my good friend Lee Anderson. What we talked about earlier about investing money, you know, we invested so much in lighting equipment, and we make sure that we give back to our athletes. So in our shows, for example, I make sure that obviously we give our trophies, but for our overalls, we have swords, we have crowns, we have championship belts. Every athlete in our show, we gave them a customized wine bottle with their pictures on it and all that. They have customized badges. You know, we make sure that we take our experience through the athletes to a whole different level. Because if we treat them the same as everyone else, then why would they come back? You know, and not just that, it's just ours as former athletes and competitors. You know, we know how hard it is for anyone to diet for a show, to prep for a show, how much you sacrifice. Why not make sure that we give them the best possible experience ever?
I hear you.
I like it.
I hear you.
Yeah.
We do. And I'm going to repeat it. You have donuts.
Oh, you know what?
That you give away at the show. You work with a local bakery.
You know what?
They look wonderful. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Nobody asked you, Kaylin. I'm talking about donuts. All right. Next question.
One of our biggest sponsors is Apollo's Donuts here in Buffalo, New York. And they donated about 15 dozen donuts for our
and so
competitors.
Now you guys just want a key on that, right? You just want a key on that. Evil.
Amazing chocolate donuts.
Yeah,
right, I'll stop
now. I know.
Know your role, Jabroni.
Okay. Okay, so moving on. So Bill, we've been talking a lot about your promoting style and different things that you are trying to bring to the forefront with the events that you're putting together. And Bill wants to know if you have had issues with any other promoters copying your format, and is that a problem for someone like you who keeps pushing himself to get better?
Another great question by Bill and everyone here. You know what? It's funny you say that, and I'll tell you that in short, no. I don't have a problem with that because I feel like if I go to another show, and let's say I go to that show and that show is, I don't want to say copying, but let's say they're giving out swords, they're giving out crowns, you know, they're reaching out to, you know, most of the big supplement companies, and the competitors are walking out there with big goodie bags like they do with our show, then who wins? The athletes win. You know, if I go to a show and a promoter, let's say they maybe saw a video of some of our shows and they like the way we do lighting, and let's say they hire a lighting technician and they go ahead and implement that in their show, I cannot be mad, because that means that we're taking a positive step towards the sport. And that's exactly what I wish every promoter in the country, you know, was giving out customized awards and making an effort to make sure the production of the shows goes to a whole different level. So I wish that actually did happen. So no, I don't think that copying good behaviors is never a good thing. I'm sorry, it's never a bad thing, man.
I know it's peak week, but
sorry.
I'm pretty sure that's not how that goes.
I know, I got a little excited there, sorry.
Yeah, I was
the
same
way.
I was like, wait a minute, is this peak week, am I hearing wrong? Did he say donuts? Yes.
Donuts. I feel like, just to short, just to summarize that, I feel like if they copy something that, let's say, charging a competitor an extra fee for whatever, like I've seen, then obviously that's not a good thing. But I feel like if they're copying something that the competitor is going to benefit from, then I don't have a problem with that. And I wish every other promoter did that.
Very cool. And, you know, and I think, well, actually these last couple of statements just really tie into a shout-out that you just got from one of our listeners. He's like, this guy's energetic. I can feel it over the radio. So thanks, Jake. Thanks for those comments and letting us know. Another question here real quick is from Sam, and she wants to know, especially for your expos, with all of the different events that you have going on, does that make it hard to keep the bodybuilding portion of it going? Because, you know, you have athletes, their diets, all of their, you know, nutrition and hydration considerations. Does the timing of the bodybuilding show still go on like normal, or does it tend to get drug out because of all the different things that are going on around it?
No, so I think that goes back to what I mentioned earlier about having those people there that are experts in their field. And I go back to the powerlifting. When the powerlifting event goes on, I don't even have to go over there and check, because I know that person who's handling powerlifting, he's going to do everything possible to make sure that the event runs smoothly. They've done it plenty of times. This is not their first time having an event. When it comes to the bodybuilding, it's something that I tell myself every show that I'm going to get away from, but I actually program our special lighting effects and smoke that we have on stage, and most of the time on behind the lighting booth. And that's something that I'm trying to get better at. I'll tell you that for our spring show, we had a good friend from Minnesota, Joe Liperto. He flew down to Buffalo, and he helped me a lot with the lighting, so I didn't have to be behind a lighting booth the whole entire show. But at the same time, I'll tell you that I have to thank my beautiful girlfriend, Benedette, who actually helped me big time, and she was backstage with competitors, making sure they were okay. So big shout out to her.
She got the
rose. She got the final rose.
Oh, the natural community suffers.
Heartbreaking everywhere.
You know, no, we joke about it, but when you start getting the success that you're getting, and people start leaning that way, I think everybody that basically is in this industry gets certain messages at some point in their career of competing. As a promoter and a single guy for the time you were, I can't even imagine some of the things that were basically, I'll say, thrust to your way, just to keep it PG. Could you speak on that and how you maintain your sanity during promoting the, you know, up until that week?
Yeah, good question again. Let's try to keep it PG again.
there you go.
I'll tell you that here's my I don't want to say my downfall, but one of the things that I know that I need to get better on, and that's something that whenever I'm like 4 weeks out of a show, I mean, even right now, we're 10 weeks or 11 weeks from the expo, and this is all I think about 24/7. You know, so back then when I was single, I mean, this is my only priority. This and obviously my career and everything. But I just, it's just timing. I mean, I wish we had, you know, 100 hours to a day so I can do everything that I want to accomplish. So, you know, it's very difficult, like I said, when I was single before, to do anything like that because I was so focused on what I wanted to do with the shows, with the expo. I mean, it's, and now I'll tell you that it's so much easier now because she does help me a lot. And, you know, she, I mean, before the show, she was there helping me, making sure that, you know, we put the tags on all the labels on all our competitors' wine bottles, making their custom badges for competitors. I mean, the day of the show, she was backstage. I got so many compliments from competitors telling me how much of a great time they had backstage and how they all felt that they were loved and welcome.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but...
No, it did. It did. But, you know, I'm gonna step over and cover a serious topic on the same topic that we're discussing. And one of the things that just disgusted me about, you know, in the past, like Romer was saying, right now we are in a great time for natural bodybuilding. But, you know, we speak about the past because there were some very shady promoters in the past that basically took away from the industry and took away from the sport because they never viewed it as such. They considered it something like basically I'm just going to, you know, control everything and control all the people and, you know, come hell or high water, I'm going to get what I want. And basically the competitors can take a backseat to everything that I'm going to do. And the women really suffered from that because they figured, you know, they were just pieces of meat. They weren't really women at all. They were just something to use and abuse like they were doing with everyone else. So, you know, my hat's off to you for basically holding your standards and holding your concept because basically that's what improves the sport is women knowing they're not going to be underhanded when they come to compete and you know, be sidelined for basically, okay, if you don't sleep with me, then you don't get an award. Because that's, you know, what some promoters are doing in the past, and that was limiting and basically holding up the industry.
Oh yeah, and I've heard horror stories about different promoters that did do that, and with this, I don't like to call it a business, but it is a business. You know, it is a business, and you know, especially here in Buffalo, New York, Western New York, and just not that, but the whole natural bodybuilding community. Once you get a bad reputation of doing that, then you're done. That's it. You know, we many see some promoters come and go and shows come and go because of things like that. And I feel like, you know, you always got to make sure that, you know, put it like this. I always say, if I'm going to produce a show here in Buffalo, then I am the CEO of this company. You know, if you're putting together a show and I mean, anywhere in the country, you are the CEO of a company like that. Now, would a responsible and a productive CEO behave in that nature? No, he doesn't. So why should one do it? You know, and I feel like that's something that, yeah, unfortunately it does happen in the past, but that's something obviously I make sure that, I made sure in the past to never cross that line, never do, because that's the last thing you want to be known for being that promoter, from being, you know, that guy.
Yes. And, yeah.
You're right, and that is the kiss of death to be that guy, that promoter. Because right now, you know what, there are a lot of options, and especially in the Midwest, we've touched on this before, right now the Midwest especially is booming, and there are just more and more options all the time for athletes. And in fact, you know, I've heard this across a couple different shows that, you know, it's getting to the point where it is a little bit harder to find athletes because there are so many options and they're just prepping for different shows at different times that are, you know, close to what a given show might be. So, you know, it's in everyone's best interest just to be on the up and up and just run a good show. Treat people the way you want to be treated. I mean, it's just going to be in your own best interest.
100%, yeah. To touch on that, we're experiencing the same exact thing here in New York and the East Coast, where there are more shows popping up. I mean, here in Buffalo alone, we've had I want to say from early March to about May or so, a span of two and a half months, we had about a show every single weekend up here. You know, and many people were complaining, and I get it from the Etsy perspective, like, why so many shows, so I get that side. And I'll tell you that I think that in the short term it might be a bad thing, but in the long term it's going to show the athletes which shows are the best shows. You know, what are you getting for to compete in every show? Are you just getting a plastic trophy, no lighting production, you're not getting treated like royalty like we say here? You know, and that's our main goal. So in the short term, I feel like, yes, that is going to affect it. And in a way, again, I do like that. I think it's a good thing that we have many shows because we have many giving the competitors a lot of different options. And I think that in the long run, what's going to happen is that those promoters who skimp on making sure they invest in their show, making sure they invest in their product, they invest in the athletes and giving back to the athletes, those are the shows that are going to go away. You know, and I think that's essentially what is going to happen eventually.
No doubt. Well,
I think that in a perfect world, and obviously me being a natural bodybuilding purist, I would love it if one day we can just have one federation. I mean, I think that's every natural bodybuilder's dream. Is that going to happen anytime soon? I doubt it. Yeah, I really, really doubt it. But I think in the short term now, I think it's a good thing if people have different options. As long as they know the value of a show and not just pick that show because they placed well or they won that show.
Mhm. Mhm. And speaking of shows, Diana wants to know: are you leaning more towards expos instead of bodybuilding shows? What direction do you see yourself in the future here?
Good question. So, in the short term, again, we have the expo that's September 9th. That's for the bodybuilding portion. That's the NAMBF, Miss Buff Diva New York. It's just an amateur show. 3 weeks after that, we're actually going to go back to the Riviera Theater, which is where we had our spring show. And I'll tell you guys, that is one of the most beautiful theater that I've seen, especially to do our bodybuilding show we had. Every competitor had a nice customized video on top. I mean, if you guys want to go check those videos out, you can go to our Facebook page. That's Buffalo Fitness Fest. You can check those out for the competition so you guys can see what we did with our lighting and our structure there. But September 30th, again, we go back to the Riviera Theater, and that's going to be the NAMBF and the IPE Clash of Beauties and Beasts. That will be an IPE pro qualifier as well as a pro show, and we're going to have pro men and pro women bodybuilding, pro men and pro women's physique, figure, and bikini. And at that show, we're giving out over $20,000 in cash prizes to the athletes. So we're really excited for that, to show the pros, you know, what an actual pro stage show look like. So we're excited for that. And to answer your question, both. You know, I love what we have going on with the Buffalo Fitness Expo. I would love to eventually expand out to different cities. You know, originally from Dominican Republic, but I grew up in New York City in the Bronx. I would love to bring a show back to New York sometime soon.
So those
are my goals. Eventually for 2018, I'm looking at some details now. I would love to have a show in New York and to expand to different cities. You know, so I would say both the bodybuilding and the expo. My 10-year plan, I would love to have 2 or 3 expos in different cities. I would love to do that. Maybe go on the Midwest and have an expo there. Maybe in the West Coast. Maybe down South.
Uh-oh.
I haven't thrown that out yet, but I would love to do that.
Awesome. I'm digging the vision. And you've already answered a question or two that we had piling up for us, because Lisa was wondering if any of your shows were pro qualifiers or actual pro shows. So he has both, so we answered that question. But she's also wanting to know, what are the classes... She also wants to know the classes and categories that you have at your shows as well.
So for our shows, we have the teen division, we have the juniors, which is 23 and under, we have the novice, we have open, and we also serve masters over 40, over 50, and over 60. Those are the classes. We do have a couple routines, and I believe that for the Clash of Beauties and Beasts, we do have a couple. He wants to do a couples routine, so we're excited for that. Also, for the Miss, I forgot to mention, for the Miss Buff Diva New York, which is an all-women's event, for that one, we actually have a Buff Diva division, which is going to be like a sportswear division. similar to bikini, but for them, they will be allowed to dress up and however they want. It can be sportswear. If they want to have the angel wings, they can. So it'll be basically a class for them to have, go out there and have fun. Be creative, have fun, enjoy your time on stage.
All right, awesome. So, Lisa, I hope those answer your questions. And actually, the fellas are kind of chiming in. They're bouncing back to the whole announcement of the girlfriend and how much she supports you. Larry wants to know how you found he wants to know how you found a woman who loves bodybuilding and fitness as much or more than you do, because he's having his own bachelor issues. Oh, wait, I'm getting these questions confused. Hold on, I'm getting two of them combined. Okay, wait, Larry wants to know if your woman... Okay, so Jake wants to know how you found a woman who loves bodybuilding and fitness as much or more as you do, because Jake is having his own bachelor issues. Oh, Jake, sorry to hear that.
Oh, Jake.
Busta, Romer,
Jake,
how did that work
call
out
me. I'll
for
I'll
you?
Give you some advice, brother. Jake, call me. I'll give you some advice, brother. So, I'll tell you that we were friends for a while. You know, she had competed before years ago, and we just reconnected through friends and Facebook, of course. But no, it's been absolutely great. And
Facebook official, there you have it.
Oh yeah, it's been absolutely. I mean, she helps me so much during that week of I'll call it my peak week, promoter's peak week, which where you know figuring out competitors' music. For me, again, since I do use a lot of lighting, I'm creating my lighting shows, my music shows. I mean, she was up there staying up with me for until 2 a.m. helping me with everything. Just, you know, every single time was, what can I do to help you? I can make things easier. And I'll tell you that I'm such a perfectionist that it's hard for me to delegate. It is, because I always want to do everything myself. But she was just great. She was amazing with that. So, you know, I'm very, very lucky to have her.
Yeah, it sounds like. And I think you answered Larry's question a little bit. But so Larry, who I was getting confused with earlier, blending the two, he wants to know if your woman has had to talk you from the ledge, talk you down from a ledge a couple times, and if she helps you keep your sanity.
Every single day. yes. I mean, it's tough, you know.
That's about as honest as you get.
Oh, absolutely. It's tough, especially when, and again, I don't want to put down any shows. I'm not about putting any shows down, but I always say that if I didn't care, if I just had an auditorium and just turned the lights on and hey, competitors go on stage, it would be so much easier. If I didn't have to worry about customized awards, you know, do I have any? Do I have them all that week? Because so we know that sometimes we can order something online that looks amazing. Then when it comes in, that company either mess up the order or you got to figure something out, you know, so that there's a lot of moving parts involved. And I feel like if we just had a normal, I don't want to say normal, we just had a show that we didn't put that time and effort into it, it'll be so much easier. But with so many moving parts involved, I mean, I don't sleep during peak week. I just don't. I always tell myself that I'm going to sleep more and I always sleep less because I'm always adding different things to the show.
There you go.
So there you have it. There you have it. So, Kaylin, do you have anything you want to jump in with?
Yes, I do, because, I just want to say that, you know, to Jake, because he's really embarrassed. He's really embarrassed by that. But, you know, he put the question out there, and Romer asked it really nice. But there's something, you know, that Romer suffered with what Jake has suffered through now. So, buddy, you're not alone. Just know that I'm glad that you're willing to wait for the right person that is basically on the same front, because a lot of people settle, and that's when they suffer. And what Romer is talking about, like he just said, he could have settled on an average show. He could have settled on basically the status quo, but he knew that wouldn't change anything or improve anything, and it sure wouldn't help with the identity that he has for himself. So Jake, you know, just keep on keeping on, buddy, and know, just like Romer, you'll find that person, and they'll find you, because if you're just looking and you're the only one to see something, then you're not seeing it right. So if you can see what she sees and she sees what you see, then you see it right. And I know it sounds confusing, and maybe it's just peak week talking, but hey, there you go.
I 100% agree with you. And that's something I'll say that, you know, don't – was it Jake, correct? You said Jake, his name was?
Yep, Jake.
Yeah, Jake. Jake, don't go out there looking for it. You know, it's something that just happened. I wasn't – by that point, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay single. I'm just going to keep working hard at everything that I – my 1 million projects that I have going on right now. You know, and it just happened. It happened, and I'm happy it did. You know, so when you least expect it, it will happen. Just make sure that you, you know, put your head down and work at whatever you're doing.
See, there you go. You probably didn't know you were going to be able to put all that bachelor expertise to work for you
in
a public forum.
So many,
but here you have it.
So many hours of watching The Bachelor finally paid off, huh?
There you go. All right. Now we're going to step away from relational advice. We're going to get back to a little a little bodybuilding questions. Jill wants to know, how many classes do you consider to be too many classes, and do you think it might get to be non-competitive or if there are just too many categories for athletes to choose from?
I would say that there are some classes that I don't really like, but I see how some competitors might like it. One of those classes would be, like, I know they have I think it's beginner's division, which I get.
Yep.
If someone's competing in their first show, I see how maybe they might be intimidated to compete in the open. But to me, I feel like that's what the novice is there for. You know, if you're a novice competitor, meaning you've never competed before, competing in the novice, you know. So I'm not a big fan of that. Again, I get why some competitors like it. I've seen some shows also offer masters over, like, 35, masters over 30, which I don't get. I think the masters should be 40, 50, 60, and then ongoing. And I don't know. I mean, I think that those are the only classes that I'm not a big fan of. Again, I see why some competitors like it. I get their point. But for me as a promoter, I wouldn't have them on my show.
Yeah, and I have to second that because, you know, as a promoter, it's tough enough, you know, to basically put on a good show and address everybody's needs. But when they're basically, you know, because you have some competitors, and I say that in quotes because they really don't want to compete. They just want to win. And, you know, that takes away from the sport. It takes away from the identity of the promoter and his show if he's just basically handing out T-ball awards, because then it's non-competitive, and that takes away from the competition aspect of it. Because, you know, to me, competition should always be competition. It shouldn't be where basically you're given a spot where all you can do is win, because basically there is no competition. And, you know, you whittle it down to the point where you take away from everything that is competitive about the show. And I know, as a former competitor, that's the last thing you want, because, you know, it's a show of competitors. And let's be really clear on that. It's competition because you have competitive-natured people. And you just because someone wants to basically step on stage and show their best doesn't mean their best is what's best for the day in first place. And I can't help but always try to drive at home that you could be your personal best, but that doesn't mean you being your best for that day when you're standing on stage with other people competing against you. So, you know, Romer, hats off to that and basically for keeping your shows competitive.
No, yeah, I agree. And one thing, and I think it's a touch on that when it comes to crossovers, I am a fan of crossovers as long as we control them. You know, I've seen some competitors that sometimes will compete in novice, open, you know, bikini. They'll do figure, they'll do women's physique, and they come out with 10 or different awards. Which, again, I'm not a fan of that, and that I know with the ANMBF, we don't allow crossovers from bikini to anything else, pretty much. So you can't, if you're going to compete in bikini, you can't compete in any other division, which I do like. When it comes to novice, masters, or open, I do like having crossovers there, because I feel like if a competitor is competing for the first time and they don't want to again, they might be a little intimidated. Maybe they want to compete in the novice, but at the same time they want to compete in the open to be competitive. I think that's okay if they do that. you know, as long as, again, they're not competing in every single division. Because with our shows, again, I want to make sure that – see, I'm also thinking about the audience when I'm doing a show. I'm not just thinking about the competitors, but also about the audience. If you're someone who's spectating in the show, you know, and every single class is the same people over and over and over and over, it's going to get very repetitive.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like, and I'm telling you, from a promoter's perspective, from a business perspective, it's a great thing because the promoters are making money charging so many fees for crossovers. But for the sport overall, it's not a good thing.
Well, and, you know, I'm really glad that you brought that up. I almost felt like you were inside my head because that was going to be my next question about the crossover. So, and I'm pretty much on the same page as you are. Now, you know, in bikini, and I'll talk bikini because that's my category. You know, I don't mind the crossover between, you know, I think from novice to open or masters to open because, you know what, there are a lot of masters holding it down that they do great masters, but they'll go to the open and they'll walk away with first place or overall too. You're starting to see that and more as more women who are older are getting into the sport and they are knocking it out of the park. But, you know, some of that novices can take, can be the same story because not all novice competitors are just, you know, are athletes that just decided to start, you know, lifting the year prior. Some of these ladies have been lifting for many years. They just have never competed before. So I see how that crossover works. But recently at a show, I saw a bikini competitor who ended up placing very well in bikini. She turned around and she competed in figure. And that gives me angst. And I'm not knocking the promoter and I'm not going to knock the athlete for that. But that just doesn't sit well with me, and it doesn't really matter what the organization is because the criteria for the different classes is so different. I mean, there's no reason why a bikini competitor should be able to perform well in figure. If that's the case, she should have been a figure competitor. Just as a figure competitor, there's no reason she should be able to go in and sweep a physique category because then she should have been physique. I mean, we talk about this a lot where you might have the best body on the stage, but is your body the one that best meets the criteria? And there's a difference for that. And you already shared your opinion on how you feel about that, which is what I was going to ask, but that's just an area that just kind of gives me angst a little bit. And I'm glad to see when organizations start to, you know, cut the line on that. I think it just gives athletes better clarity as to what judges are actually looking for. Because when you see somebody who wins a bikini category come and take second place in figure, you got to ask yourself, what the heck is going on? You know, why was she able to
absolutely
do that? So, you know, just that, just that kind of craziness. So I'll let that point go. But Diana is a beginner and she is confused about the difference between beginner and novice categories. And to tell you the truth, I don't know enough about the nuances of criteria to be able to answer that question. So I'm going to ask it too, right along with Diana. What is the difference between beginner and novice?
Yeah.
Is beginner, you've just never competed before at all, and novice is you haven't placed higher than third, or?
Yeah, so every federation is different. I'll say to a competitor who's never competed before, I would say to check with the federation and ask, because every federation is going to have different rules. But technically, the rule is if a competitor has never either won their class or placed top three in a novice show, then they technically shouldn't be able to compete in novice. Again, sometimes it's so hard to monitor that. How do you really know that, you know? As a promoter, because there's so many shows, it's impossible for us. If someone registers for my novice, I'm not going to go on every single promoter's website and check. I mean, it's almost hard to monitor. But technically, the rule is if a competitor has never competed before in a never placed top three in a novice class, then they are not qualified to compete in novice. And beginner is just your first show. If you've never competed before, then beginner should be your first show. After you competed before, after you competed, then you shouldn't compete in beginners. But again, I'm not a fan of that beginners class. I see how some competitors might like it, but I feel like that's what the novice is there for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with you on that
one,
too.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. I'm just going to pick back what he was saying because, you know, as a competitor, it really sucks when you see somebody from your local gym or from the local area constantly competing in novice and winning simply because they like winning, not because, like, they're competing. And, you know, we had a guy that was basically NPC novice and won, and then he went over to two different other organizations in the national community and won, and he was still winning as a novice. And, then, you know, then he's winning novice overall. And I'm thinking, well, dude, how many times are you going to do it before you realize, you know, maybe it's something wrong with you mentally where you don't want to step your game up. So, you know, it's like Roman was saying, you know, it's not on the promoter. There's certain things as mature adults that we should self-identify with as basically being morally incorrect. And I think that's one of them where, you know, you're so set on winning, you basically forego the competitive side of the sport and you take away from it. And, you know, this guy doesn't compete anymore just because he basically looked back at the end of the year and was so ashamed of how he did things that he couldn't even basically compete with his peers because they already had this identity of just how poor he really was as a competitor. So, you know, I guess foreknowledge is basically helpful in seeing that it doesn't work in the long run, even though you might have a big collection of novice trophies. Congratulations, I'm happy for you. But sooner or later, you're going to have to step it up.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you guys again. Completely agree with that. I know the last show that I competed, back in 08, actually, when I did a show, I was still in college. I was a broke college student, so I was deciding, you know, what show should I do? And I know that I competed in a local show here. Then there was another show, and then there was one. It was a USBF Baltimore, which at that time, I believe it was their national show, their biggest show. And to me, I thought, okay, so I can go to this other show out here in New York and compete there and probably do well, or I can go out there to Baltimore and compete against the best. And that's what I did. You know, and I feel like, I agree, I feel that some people, they will compete in novice every single year and win the overall. And I've seen it happen here in the area too, not in my shows, but I've seen it happen in the area. But again, it goes back to how do we really control that? I mean, in a perfect world, all the heads of all the different federations will come up with a data system that we can, as promoters, we can go on there, type the name of a competitor, and check what their placings were for every show, you know, but that we don't have that, you know. So it is really hard to monitor that. I feel like the way that we can help with that, it will be communication with the athletes, making sure that we are educating the athletes on what the rules are for novice, what the rules are for open, and making sure to let them know, hey, if you have won top three in a novice class before, you know, I believe the rule is, just to be exact, I believe the rule is if you win, if you have placed top three in a novice show before, then you are qualified to compete in the open. But if you won your class, then you're no longer able to compete in a novice. But again, how do we really control that? You know, it's mm-hmm. not something like it's not like we're the NBA or the UFC that we can just type in a competitor's name and find out all their info. You know, it's hard to control that.
That it is. And again, you know, I think a lot of it just comes down to, for the most part, athlete education. I mean, most people want to compete in the class that is best suited for them. And so if they know what that means, you know, like, Diana, she honestly wanted clarification because she's just getting started and wanted to know what the difference was. Well, then she's going to pick the right category now that she knows what that is. So it just comes down to, again, doing your homework, reading the descriptions of each of the classes, athletes, I'm sharing this with you, and then going in with a realistic idea of what's going to be the best place for you. So, and if all else fails, check with your coach. But again, always go back to the criteria because we also know coaches tend to sometimes place their athletes in categories that are not best for them either. So, you know, you just have to be informed all the way around. Last question here, because we're starting to run out of time. So, Daniel, you've got it. He wants to know if bodybuilders that we're seeing today are getting too close to the look of men's physique, meaning they're incredibly lean, they just don't have a lot of mass. Is there a certain height and weight that is just too small to be considered bodybuilding, or is this the trend natural bodybuilding is going?
I feel like it's a, difficult question to really answer. I mean, because I feel like, especially in the East Coast right now, I feel like the sport of bodybuilding itself, it's not what it was back when I competed. Last time I competed, we had 10, 15 guys per class, you know, lightweight, middleweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight. Now that's not the case anymore. You know, I mean, I would love to do that. I even thought I was talking to actually to Lee Anderson this past week, and we mentioned, I know for my shows, I mentioned, you know, we might just give, you know, half off registration to bodybuilders to bring them in, even free registration also to women's bodybuilding to try to bring the sport back in, you know, because I know that it's not what it was. It's not how it was back then and when I competed and during those times. So, I mean, if, going back to your question, I don't even know how to answer that, to be honest.
You know, and Kaylin, I know you've got a lot of thoughts on that too, and we've really only got about a couple minutes left, but it's a question that we've broached before because, you know, in some shows, you're going to be looking at a lot of athletes that have size and maybe not the same leanness. In other shows, all of your bodybuilders are cut, but they don't have a whole lot of size. So, and that's something we kind of go back and forth on.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in because, you know, it's a tough one for roamers and promoters, but it's for me as a fan, I can say, and, you know, basically being backstage and speaking with the athletes and getting a real understanding of what they're going up against, because if you're talking about a today winner of an overall show going up against someone as like a Martin Daniels, it's not even close, and it would almost be embarrassing, and I doubt that the competitor would want to step on stage again if they basically see that kind of mass while they're standing next to them, you know, basically 40 pounds lighter with the same height, because, you know, I get that diets are really important and leanness is very, very important, but if we're basically cardioing the bodybuilder down to immense physique, then where does that leave bodybuilding? And I think that's where a lot of the competitors were getting afraid to step on a bodybuilding stage as bodybuilders instead of men's physique, because there were several people last week at the show that I helped judge that were bodybuilding physiques, but they didn't think, you know, that was the look for bodybuilding anymore, even though they had plenty of size. So, you know, we've got to be I think that's one of those things that Romer was talking about where you're always asking questions and you're always looking for input, but that's something that we'll have to look into in the future, basically to make sure that we still have bodybuilding competitions and basically not the crossovers where men's physique is winning the overall bodybuilding as well, because then, like Des was saying, what's the point in having the different categories if the same guys win it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you that I from my previous judging experience, I tend to favor mass over conditioning, even though I am a conditioning freak, you know. But I'll say that I will always tend to favor the bigger guy over the more striated, you know, competitor.
All right. Because it is bodybuilding, but, you know, it's all bodybuilding, just to different degrees. So with that,
exactly.
We've got about a minute to go. Romer, remind everybody where they can get more information about the expos and all of your other shows that are coming up.
Without donuts.
Show four.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. So
oh
for the Buffalo Fitness Expo, that's just buffalofitnessexpo.com. You can check us out on Facebook, again, Buffalo Fitness Expo. On Instagram, it's Buffalo Fit Expo. The for our other bodybuilding shows, that's Buffalo Fitness Fest, F-E-S-T. So Buffalo Fitness Fest, same on YouTube. On Facebook, on Instagram, check our website. I also host, which I haven't done in over 6 months, But this week I'm actually recording my first episode again of the Buffalo Fitness Expo podcast, and that's on iTunes and on YouTube. So it's a video and also audio podcast.
All right, folks, so check it out. And with that, I think Kalen already snuck in his snickerdoodle shout-out. So on behalf of myself, Romer, Kalen, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.